1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'd like to begin reading in verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 18. The Bible says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble or necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful tonight for the privilege given us as a people to be able to come together in the middle of the week and sing and pray and then gather around the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. I pray, dear God, that you would take us tonight as your children, mend us where we need to be mended, and help us to be more effective in our service to thee. I pray tonight that you would take me as your servant, cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. Bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. One of the exciting things for a pastor or pastor emeritus or should be for deacons or trustees or members of the local church is when you see this great organism called the church begin to grow. You see that people get saved as we have had a host of people in the last 3 months get saved and baptize a number of people. And we're seeing people of all ages and all backgrounds and all walks of life come into a local church where the word of God is preached. They get saved or have members come in the local church and they get mended and go out and win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ, bring them in, see them get baptized. And then you see this organism come together for the sole purpose of God empowering it to go out and reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So growth ought to be exciting. Let me explain to you something about how the church works. You see, when we walk into a local church, we bring a heart, or we bring ourselves, and the heart is open for one purpose. As a Christian, I want to come in, and when the Word of God is preached or taught, I want to be mended. In other words, what I need, if I need encouragement, I want to be encouraged. If I need rebuke, I want to be rebuked. I want to be mended. Why? I'm part of something that God is using for His honor and glory. So every one of us, we ought to have the attitude, I came to church tonight because I need to be mended in some form. He said, well, everything's perfect with me. That tells me you really need to be mended. All right, so we come to church to be mended. Now listen to me very carefully, and I believe this with all of my heart, and Ephesians chapter 4 will teach this. When I'm mended, whether it's on a Wednesday night, or a Sunday night, or a Sunday school, or Sunday morning, when my heart is mended, when something happens, whether I'm corrected, whether I'm encouraged, then I'll immediately take the mending that takes part in my life, and I go out and start ministering. In other words, I find somebody that I can take a little bit of what was given me and put it into somebody else. Now, if I'm doing that effectively, if I'm being mended, and by the way, some people come to church and they'll never mend it because we don't bring a heart to be mended. So I come to church and I'm mended. So as I am mended, then if I'm mended effectively, I go out and I start ministering. And as I minister, taking what's in me, putting in somebody else, guess what happens? I begin to mature. I become a better Christian. I'm not a good Christian just because I come to church. I'm a good Christian when something I get out of church helps me to go out, minister to somebody else, and I mature. I mean, all of a sudden, if I get mended and I go out and give somebody the gospel, and all of a sudden this babe in Christ becomes my responsibility, and as I start ministering to them, I've got to get deeper in the book. I've got to pray a little bit more because all of a sudden I become responsible for somebody else. Now, that's the plan and the process of God, and that is what ought to happen. Now, as we see here in our local church, a lot of times when you have a church growing, like Crossroads is growing now, and people are getting saved, and people are saved from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of problems and all kinds of situations, they get excited about serving God, walking to a local church, but they're different. In other words, we're all different levels and different stages in the Christian life. But God says we are many members, but yet one body. And the Bible teaches us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that God places people in the body as it pleases Him. It's an amazing thing if I have the attitude I'm a member of Crossroads Baptist Church because it pleased God. I'm not here just because this is where I chose to be. It pleased God to put me in this place. And as God puts us together, the Bible says He has tempered, He has arranged the body so that everybody He puts in the body is effective in that body. In other words, if God put me here, then God has something for me to do. And He puts all of us here together, some saved a short period of time, some saved a long time, all kinds of people. There are spiritual people in the church. There are carnal people in the church. There are all kinds of people in the church. There are professing people in the church. All kinds of people in the local church. But if we're saved, scripturally baptized, a part of that local church, I'm necessary for that church. But as growth comes, you're going to find, as I've found over the years, with growth, something else comes along. There's an old word called problems. I know most of you have never heard of that because you never had a problem. But with growth comes problems. And when Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and you know the history we preached through this book, he went there for 18 months. He preached the gospel. People got saved, got baptized, became a member of the local church. And that church became a great church. And it said that the testimony of Jesus Christ was confirmed in that place so that they came behind in no gift. In other words, it wasn't just a church. It became a great church on fire for Almighty God. And he says, I want to remind you of something. He says, you are many members, yet you're one body. In other words, there's diversity, but there ought to be unity. I've preached a number of times here in the last 3 months on the road, and I preached this passage, and at least three places I've preached this passage, I've been asked to either teach it to a staff, or find a CD, or give it to somebody, because I think it's one of the great passages in all the Word of God to help a growing church. In other words, the purpose we want to do this upcoming year, as we grow, and I believe with all my heart, we're going to grow like never before. We're going to have more people ministering than ever before, more people getting saved than ever before, and coming a part of a local church, because when a person gets saved, they ought to get baptized, and they ought to become a member of a local New Testament church. But you stop and think, if you get saved one day, get baptized the next Sunday, join the church, everything about you hadn't changed. But you're valuable and need it, and fit in the overall program of God, even if your problem when you first joined the church. And so I want to talk to us tonight. I figure, well, if everybody else is excited about this, I preached this a number of years ago. I believe there's a note there. Maybe it was in September of 2008. I preached this passage entitled, How to Help Keep Problems Out of a Growing Church. I want to change a little bit tonight. I want to talk about how to minimize the problems in a growing church and maximize the potential of who's in that church. Now, think for a moment. Wouldn't you like to be in a church where you could minimize your problem to the church, but maximize your potential for Almighty God? That's the will of God. That's the purpose of God. That's why we're mended. That's why we ought to minister. That's why we ought to mature. And maturity is when I minimize my problem, no matter what it may be, but I maximize my potential for the local church that I'm a part of. So we'll talk about that for a few moments tonight. I preached it when I was pastoring, but I always wanted to do it. It's easier to preach when somebody else is pastoring. So I figure this last time, since I haven't preached since September, and I'm no longer the pastor of the church, I'm going to preach it like I preached some other place about that pastor, because your pastor is not here tonight. So we'll light it up a little bit, have a little fun a little bit, but be very, very serious, because I believe without a doubt, if we take the things that I'm going to give us in the next few moments and let it mend me, wherever, whoever I may be, wherever I've been, wherever I came from, it doesn't make a difference tonight. If I'm a part of this body, then I want to maximize my potential. And I want to minimize the problems for the local church. Now, in order to do that, it takes a four-letter word called work. Okay, if you're taking notes tonight, I'm going to give you five things, and I'm going to go through, and we'll be finished in plenty of time, unless you act like you don't get part of it and have to spend a little extra time on it. We're going to start it out with the word work. So if you're writing, you put down 1, 2, 3, 5 points here, and start every one of them with the word work. In other words, this is only going to happen and only going to take place if we work. Church growth requires work. All right? So we'll put it, the first one is going to start with the word work. The last word is going to end with the P so that you can remember it. But the second word I want you to keep track of tonight. I have a little phrase that I'm going to mention here. How to minimize the problem in a church and maximize the potential of every person who's a part of that church. How can I do that? I want you to put yourself in mind here and say, I want to get this and let every person think individually what we're saying tonight. I've got to work. I've got to work. If I'm a part of the church, I've got to work. I come to the church to work. Here's point number one. As a member of the local church that's growing, my part, every time I come into the church, I'm going to do my work, whatever it may be. I'm going to work for, that's a little phrase I want you to remember, I'm going to work for someone. I'm going to work for the right person. This is important. If you don't get this one, you won't get the other four. If I'm going to minimize my problems in the church, maximize my potential, every time I usher, every time I teach, every time I go to bus ride, every time I sing, every time I give an offering, anything that's involved in the work in that church, I'm working for someone. Here's a verse. If you ever wanted to memorize a verse that will help your Christian life, I think this is the greatest verse in the Bible to memorize, if you're saved tonight. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. If whether I eat or drink or whatsoever I do, Whatever work I'm doing in the local church, I'm working for the right person. And that right person is none other than Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In other words, I'm working to please Him. I'm working to praise Him. So whatever I do in the local church, if the pastor never recognizes me, I never get any credit for it, I never get any attention for it, I'm working for someone who never forgets.
Amen.
Whatever I do. Can you imagine what the church would be like if every church member who's a part of the local church, whatever he or she did, you were working for Jesus Christ? You'd have less attitudes, less problems. By nature, we are selfish people. Now, I pastor long enough to know some things about people. We like attention. We like to do something that somebody recognizes me for doing it. And if they don't recognize me for doing it, it may affect whether I keep on doing it. And the reason for that is we're not working for the right person. If I'm working for Jesus Christ, it makes no difference whether I get praise here on this earth. I'm working to please Him. I'm not working for the pastor. I'm working for Jesus Christ. That means I can go into the church. I may not like the sermon. I may not like what the pastor said. I may not like somebody else. But I do love Jesus Christ, and that's who I'm working for. And I'm working to please Him. I hope in 2012 we can find somebody who's doing something to please Him. That's why I want. I want to please Him. I want all the praise to go to Him. I want Him to get the glory out of my singing, the glory out of my teaching. I want Him to take a look. And by the way, He never fails to see whatever we do. Okay, so we're going to work for the right person, and that is who? Jesus Christ. Number two, let's start with the word work. I'm working for somebody, and by the way, nobody ever replaces Him. Even when you change pastors, you don't change the Savior. Whatever you did, if you were working for Jesus Christ under Pastor Baldwin, you're going to be working for Jesus Christ under the other Pastor Baldwin. That makes sense, doesn't it? Number two, work with. Put the word with down. If I'm working for the right person, and that's Jesus Christ, I got to work with somebody. So let's fill that phrase out. Work with the pastor. You say, but oh, I'm working for Jesus. Yeah, if you're working for Jesus in the church, you got to work with somebody. You work with the pastor. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I'm working for Jesus Christ. But in the local church, Jesus Christ, who is the founder of the local church, the builder of the local church, who is the chief shepherd, puts in every local church an under-shepherd called the pastor. Amen. So how do you work with the pastor? Maybe three things you do. In supplication, you pray for him. He said, oh, I don't like the sermon he preached. Pray he'll preach one you will like. That's what I do. You walk in. I don't like this. And I work with the pastor. Pray for him every single day. Secondly, be in submission to the pastor. Thirdly, now, if I'm going to problems I cause in the church, I've got to have at the top of the list, I'm working for Jesus Christ. He's the right person. And by the way, he's always the right person. He's the right person for the deacons, right person for the pastor, right person. Everybody in the local church is working for Jesus Christ. You want his praise. You want to please him. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying. But you got to work with the pastor. Be in supplication. Pray for him every single day. Be in submission. Follow the leadership. That's a biblical principle. Thirdly, support. Support his ideas. Support his leadership. Support the things that he comes up with. Why? I'm trying to minimize the problems, maximize my potential. Number three. Around. All right? Working for right person, Jesus Christ. Pastor, work around personalities. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covers all sins. How do I work around personalities in the church? That's why I tried to explain diversity for one body. Different personalities in a local church is biblical. So how do I work around personalities? Number one, allow people to be different than you. What would the church be like if everybody in the church was just like you? Or just like me? What would it be like? Allow people to be different. It is God who makes people different. It is not our responsibility to try to make somebody be just like we are. That's God's responsibility. I'm going to allow people to be different. And the Bible makes it very clear in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God puts people in the church as it pleases him. And if he chooses to put a person with this kind of personality, that's God's choice. And it's not for me to change that. Allow people to be different. And avoid at any cost division. You know, whether you believe it or accept it or not, you are not always right. And your opinion is not biblical necessarily. It may be every once in a while. But just because you have an opinion doesn't make it the biblical answer or the biblical way to do things. We've got to understand that. I'm in a body. I'm in a part of a living organism, and that person is different. He's different, or she's different. I don't like that personality. So what? You're not in the church to like personalities. You're working for somebody and working with somebody. Therefore, work around personalities. Number four. Let's review. I'm working for the right person. That's Jesus Christ. I'm working with the pastor, in this case, it's Pastor Kenny Ball. He's our pastor. I'm working around personalities, whole lot of them. Number four, work. I write down a little word, on. Work on people. I tried to explain that people are different. Different personalities. But I want to minimize problems and maximize potential. They're just some folks. You ever met some people? Don't raise your hand. Don't tell on yourself. You ever met somebody that they just don't sat well with you? Now, I confess, after 30 years of pastoring so many people, everybody who's been a member of the church I pastored for 30 years didn't sit well with me. But I learned how to work on them. And here's how you work on people. pray actively for them. Somebody rub you the wrong way. Oh, God, help. Yeah. Drag them, not literally, but drag them in your closet and lengthen your prayer time, calling their name many, many times. And by the way, as you are calling God to change them, talk to God a little bit about changing you. Make you a little bit more acceptable. Make you a little bit more, less critical. Make you a little bit to accept what God has accepted. Work on people. It's hard to be upset with somebody you're praying for. Amen? So you work on people by praying actively for them. Number two, work on people by providing assistance to them. Maybe you ought to invite them over to dinner. And by the way, you're not inviting them over to straighten them out. You're inviting them over to feed them, okay, and fellowship with them, all right? Provide assistance. You know, it's amazing the difference it would make if we'd be a little bit more other-minded. When the last time you had somebody over for a meal, or took somebody out for a meal, or did something for somebody without wanting something in return? That's how you work on people. Pray actively for them. Provide assistance. Number five, we're getting close to the end. Number one, work for the right person. That's Jesus Christ. Work with the pastor. Pastor Kenny Baldwin, since we're preaching in this church. Work around personalities, a whole bunch of them. Allow people to be different. Avoid division at any cost. Work on people. Pray actively for them. Provide assistance to them. And number five, start with the word work. And then write the word out. Okay? I'm working for, with, around, on, and out. Now, they all start with a P. I'm working for the right person. Working with the pastor. Working around personalities. Working on people. I'm working out what? Problems. Here we go. I'm trying to minimize the problem that I cause the church. I'm trying to maximize my potential as a part of the church. So since there's diversity, and since there are all kinds of personalities, and since all of us have adopted and quoted the verse, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, every one of us already know we're right, and the way I see things is the best way. So that brings problems. There's never been a church that didn't have problems, because there's never been a church that didn't have people. We're not cans, and we're not animals. We're people. And therefore, as people, we have problems. And every church has had problems, including the very first one. Jesus was pastor of the first church. He had 12 members. 8 of them never did anything. 3 of them argued all the time about who was the greatest. And 1 of them was the devil. I don't think we've improved a whole lot over the years. And we don't have a Jesus pastor. So churches have problems. So very quickly, what do I do? Work out the problem. First of all, use a scriptural approach. Quickly flip over to Matthew chapter 18. How do I work out problems? Have a scriptural approach. Matthew chapter 18, verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. How do I work out problems in the church? A scriptural approach is do it personally, privately, prayerfully, and patiently. I'm a firm believer if we did, every time we had a problem with somebody in the local church, if I went to them personally, privately, prayerfully, and patiently, I'd solve the problem. And it would never have to go to two or three others or to a local church. Every individual will at some point in time have a problem with somebody in the church that you're a part of. And when that happens, to minimize the problem and maximize the potential, work out the problem scripturally, a scriptural approach, personally, privately, prayerfully, patiently. Galatians chapter 6, very quickly. I work out problems by a scriptural approach. But secondly, I need to have a spiritual attitude. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. In other words, I'm going to do it caringly and considerately. Be careful how I work it out and consider the fact that that could have been me. I could have had that problem. How many I said we had five? Let me give you one more just in closing, all right? Work for the right person. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Work with the pastor. Who's that? That's Baldwin, all right? Work around personalities. That's all of us. Work on people. Work out the problem. And lastly, is the word work, put down the word through. Work through his power. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Keep in mind that self is carnal. Christians ought to be spirit controlled. I need to understand that whatever I do, I need to be led by the Spirit of God if I am to be all that I need to be for the glory of God. Growth is a good thing. And we ought to thank God and praise God every single day that we see people get saved, get baptized, and join a local church. But the church is never designed for everybody to be just alike. But it is the will of God that there's unity in the body of Christ. Diversity, many members, yet one body. Every individual, from the pastor on down, ought to have this attitude. I'm working for somebody. That's Jesus Christ. It's great to get the praise of man, but you ought to be working to please him and get the praise from Almighty God. Work with the pastor. Supplication. Pray for him every day. Everybody. Be in submission to leadership. Be in support. Work around personalities. You probably don't agree with the person sitting next to you. But in the church, work around it. She moved over when I said that. I'm just kidding. Work around personalities. Work on people. Assist them. Pray for them. What's the other one? Work out problems. Scriptural approach. A spiritual attitude. And work through His power. We're either in the flesh or in the spirit. There's no in between. May God help us as individuals who are part of a body, understand it's the will of God that I maximize my potential in the church. I want to be the best church member that I can ever be. And I want to minimize my problem. I don't ever want my church as a body to have a problem because of me. And therefore, I want to maximize my potential. I guarantee you, work for the right person, work with the pastor, work around personalities, work on people, work out the problems, and work through his power. We'll maximize our potential and minimize our problems. Let's bow our heads in prayer.